Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
You're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, you can stream our show live weekdays at 9 and 11 a.m. Central. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
An update on how primary day in Minnesota is shaping up. Minnesota Secretary of State Steve Simon joins us this morning from Minneapolis. Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure to be with you.
So, although today is the big day for many across the state, several people have already turned in their ballots through no excuse absentee voting. How many people submitted their ballots by midnight yesterday?
We know that by earlier than midnight yesterday, meaning the number is likely a good bit higher, it was about 120,000 people, which is a huge number. Just so your listeners know, that is a 200% increase, 200%. Over 2 years ago. So there are a lot of people that are fired up to vote or to at least vote early. It is remarkable how much early voting we have seen.
And that's, you know, this is not a presidential election year. We're talking 2 years ago, we had a presidential election, and this is 200% higher than that?
Yes. Amazing. And I think, you know, there are a couple of reasons for that. One is just sort of the mechanical reason of people figuring out and discovering no excuses absentee voting, meaning you don't have to be absent anymore to vote absentee. You can vote early or before the election for any reason or no reason. And people are flocking to that option by either ordering it to come to their home so they can vote from home or going to a city hall or a county building to vote anytime in the 46-day absentee ballot period, which obviously ends today. So one is structural. The second reason, I think, is just people who are fired up to vote. It's across the political spectrum. People seem to be paying closer attention this year than in other years. A lot of reasons for that. Maybe some of the very close contests on both sides of the aisle. But we're seeing a real sort of reawakening out there, at least tentatively.
And people can be assured that every vote will be counted?
Yes, absolutely. And Minnesota's got a great record in that way. You know, one advantage of voting in person is if there is a flaw in the ballot, if someone does something wrong or overvotes or something like that, the machine's going to pick that up and remind you, and you can just have that ballot destroyed and vote a fresh new one.
Okay. So those people who voted 3 weeks ago and then suddenly were bombarded with some late-breaking scandals and accusations, do they have any recourse at this point to change their vote?
At this point, they don't. The rule in Minnesota is that up to 1 week before the election, both the primary today and in the November general election, if it's 1 week before, you can go and you can back that ballot. You can fish it out of the pile. You can say, wait, I've made a terrible mistake or I've gotten new information. I want to change my vote up to 7 days before. But as of this moment or yesterday or the day before, that was not an option in Minnesota.
So for those folks who are headed to the polls today, what kind of turnout are you expecting? And how does that compare to, say, the 2016 primary?
Well, let me just give your listeners a little perspective. The modern day high watermark for turnout in a primary was in the low 20s. We haven't broken 20% turnout since 1998. And there was a lot going on that year. That was the year of Jesse Ventura and spirited contests in multiple parties. So that's a good benchmark. Keep in mind, in general elections in November, we're way above that. I mean, we're number one in the country. So we're up near 75%. But in primaries, if you break 20%, that's considered really good. So we'll see if we can do that. There are indications that that is certainly possible this year. I'm hesitant to call out a specific number or prediction, but I think that that seems to be a possibility this year, and that would be notable for sure.
So you think we may be, you're not going to give a firm prediction, but you think we're on track to break the records, break some records today?
I mean, the issue is you never know with absentee ballots. Is that just people changing, existing voters choosing the mode and method of their voting? Or does it represent, to some degree, new people? We won't know that, of course, until after the polls close at 8 p.m. tonight. So that's kind of the rub here. But assuming that some chunk of these 120,000 plus voters are new and not just people switching around the way they vote, it sure seems like 20% is doable. Whether it will be, I don't know. We'll see.
And Given this interest in the primary election, can we count on then higher numbers for the general election this fall? And do you have any predictions there?
You know, there isn't always a straight line. There have been times where we've had uncommonly high primary turnout, and it hasn't translated. At times when it has translated, it's so dependent on the candidates. Frankly, it tends to also be linked to the closeness of the contests. When people think the stakes are high and the margins are thin, that might inspire candidates and political parties to turn people out. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, Minnesota, I need to point out, and never tire of saying, we are number one in the country at 74.8% of the vote in 2016. And I expect we'll be in the hunt to keep that crown this year.
All right. So if you haven't yet registered to vote, can you still vote today?
Absolutely. Minnesota has same-day voter registration, so you can waltz right into your polling place and register there and vote there in one seamless transaction. If you don't know where that place is, you don't know where to go, just go to mnvotes.org. That's mnvotes.org.
Is that with
Type
an S
address.
On the end, as in actively votes? Or I just want to make sure that's clear. It's mnvotes?
Yes,
okay.
V-O-T-E-S, mnvotes.org. And you can type in your address and they'll tell you right where to go. Polls are open till 8. And if you're there at 8, even if you haven't voted at 8, you're still good to go.
And when you show up, what do you need to vote to be eligible?
Well,
if you're
already registered. Yeah, if you're registered, you don't need anything. If you are not registered, under Minnesota law, you gotta make a showing of two things, that you are who you say you are and that you live where you say you live. And the law is pretty broad in terms of what you can use to do those things. The most common one, obviously, is a driver's license, but it doesn't have to be that. It can be a utility bill. It can be a neighbor who vouches for you under oath. So there are a long list of things that can be found at mnvotes.org as well. So it's a pretty forgiving and generous list of ways that you can prove those two things.
And just a reminder, when filling out the ballot today, voters can only vote for candidates in one political party. So on the front page of the ballot, it's either on the left-hand side or the right-hand side. Why is that?
Yeah, that's a good point. And I just came from a meeting where someone was complaining about that, frankly. I think that is intended and once was intended to reduce the amount of mischief that partisans might play in trying to vote in another party's contest. There's no way to really police that or eliminate it, really. But this reduces that, the incidence of that. But yeah, you can't color across the lines, so to speak. You got to stay in your column. You can't, for example, vote for one of the Democrats for governor and one of the Republicans in attorney general. You got to stay on your side. But don't forget, the back of the ballot has a nonpartisan contest for county commissioner or sheriff or the like. So everyone can vote in those. But yeah, you got to stay on your side of the line.
And that's just for the primary. That doesn't apply to the general election this fall.
Correct. Just for the primary.
Catherine in Minneapolis wants to know, if a candidate is eliminated in the primary, is there recourse to be on the general election ballot?
Is there recourse? That's a tricky question. If the nominee of that party for that office were to not be on the ballot anymore, then that political party would have the option of choosing a replacement. If they chose that primary a candidate who lost, then I suppose that's recourse for them to get on the ballot. There's also always the option of a write-in. Anyone who's eligible to hold the office, whether they've run in a primary and lost or not, can always, I suppose, summon the support and get the numbers to win the office. They wouldn't be on the ballot, of course, but they could get to office via a write-in.
Has a write-in candidate ever won?
Write-in candidates have won. I don't know of a statewide victory for a write-in candidate, but for local office, that has happened.
Okay. Since the 2016 election, there has been a lot of discussion about protecting the security of elections. What has your office done since then to beef up security?
Yeah, this is the number one threat to the integrity of our elections nationally and in Minnesota, is this cybersecurity or generally security threat. So we have worked very closely with the Department of Homeland Security, intelligence officials, and others on strengthening and hardening our cyber defenses. Starting in 2015, before anyone had heard about Russian hacking, we started a cybersecurity team. We contracted with an outside consultant in the 2016 election to be our eyes and ears and to probe us and look for vulnerabilities. And we've done that now with federal intelligence officials as well. We have new partnerships with our local partners in county and city government, and we've implemented some cybersecurity defenses and strategies there. So we feel good about where we are in terms of having minimized the risks. We haven't eliminated them. I don't think anyone in America can say there's a 0% chance, whether it's NPR or a large retailer or government. The bad guys are lurking, and they're smart, and sometimes they're bankrolled by foreign governments. But we just have to stay one step ahead of them at all times, and that's what we're trying to do.
The federal government has set money aside for improving election security, and Minnesota is eligible for a share of more than $6 million of that money. But in order to access it, the state legislature has to pass a bill authorizing your office to use it. Last session, that bill ended up as part of the omnibus package with several other bills, and that whole package was eventually vetoed by Governor Dayton. Is that money still on the table?
It is. Frustratingly, that money is literally in an account, $6.6 million of it, with our name on it, earmarked for this purpose of election security, and we can't touch it. We can't touch it until after the 2018 election, after the new legislature convenes in 2019, all because of a really unfortunate and totally avoidable mistake having to do with the legislative process and, frankly, some people putting a party over country. And that's really unfortunate. Looking ahead, I just can only hope that we get the money as soon as possible. There's some long-range projects that we have specifically in mind to use that money to harden our cybersecurity defenses. I hope we get it sooner rather than later. I'm very disappointed that that wasn't done this last legislative session. But, you know, it is what it is, and we're just going to have to deal with the problem with the resources we have, and we're doing that.
Steve Simon, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Steve Simon is the Minnesota Secretary of State. He joined us from Minneapolis.
This was a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. To add your voice to our discussion, you can call in at 800-242-2828 or tweet Kerri at @KERRINPR. And if you miss us live, you'll find all of our shows by subscribing to this podcast. If you have questions, you can email us at talk@npr.org.